Well, let's get into the Word. You guys ready for the Word? I'm ready to give you the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to embark into a wonderful journey. You set our table before us, and we're ready to eat. We thank you, Father, for good food. Praise God. We went to the right restaurant. Hallelujah. And so, Heavenly Father, feed our spirit. Feed us the Word of God. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, been a couple of weeks now. Has it been 2 weeks since I've ministered? We have not forgotten you about the notes concerning the mind God expects you to have. We brought out that the teaching on what kind of mind God expects you to have, and I think there was basically six different mindsets that God wants us to have. He wants us to have a devoted mind, a dedicated mind. Hallelujah. A disciplined mind, a determined mind, a discerning mind, and a developing mind. It's real funny how not many churches really capitalize on the fact that God expects us to develop mentally. And how many of you know that's important? So if you will, open up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Over the years, I got so tired of hearing about renewing of the mind, it was driving me crazy. I said, Lord, if anybody else preaches on renewing of the mind, I says, I'm not going to be present. And God says, the reason you're hearing it so much is you haven't got it yet. When you start getting it, you enjoy it. You begin to absorb it a little bit. So I'll try to make it as interesting as possible for you. But we talked about the kind of mind God expects us to have. So if you look at Romans 12, most of the teaching on renewing in the mind begins with verse 1 and 2. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we teach a little differently on the mind, because the word mind and the word soul are two different things. A lot of times people don't see that in Scripture. A lot of times it's because they don't understand it according to the original text in which it was preserved in, which is the Koine or common Greek language. But your thought processes abide within the soul, both of that which is physical and that which is spiritual. And with that thought in mind, we'll go to the rich man and Lazarus for a moment, and we'll talk about that subject for a moment. Lazarus and the rich man ended up in the lower regions of the earth. And we know that the rich man was in a place of torment, and Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. And there was a gulf fixed between them. And we do know that the rich man was looking over this great gulf and asked Abraham if Lazarus would dip his finger into water and touch the end of his tongue, because the place he was in was in torment, and he wanted to be comforted. And so we covered all the bases of the fact that what you are spiritually is what you are naturally. But your natural being is the tent by which your spiritual being is housed within. And the Bible terms it, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, your earthly tent. And the inner man, the inner part of the man, is made up of two parts. It's made up of the soul, and it's made up of the spirit. And you've got to know that the rich man and Lazarus, even though they were in the earth, you've got to understand that their physical mind was not present, because it dies with the body. And so when they changed their environment from that which is physical to that which is spiritual, then that natural mind, the physical brain, no longer functioned. It went with the body. And so the rich man could see. He had eyes, which meant he had spiritual eyes. He could think. And the thing that's unique about this story that most people seem to forget is the rich man was in a place of repentance. And he said, I want to send somebody from this realm to this realm and warn my brothers so they don't end up here in the same place. So we know that once you change from this realm to that realm, you no longer have a physical brain issue. You are now solely faced with your spiritual mind. That's something to think about. Somebody said, well, will you have your natural mind when you go there? No, you'll have your spiritual mind. Just like Lazarus had a finger, it wasn't his physical finger, because his body was molding in the grave. So it had to be a spiritual finger. So the Bible's very clear through the ministry of Jesus that once you depart here and go there, you're just complete there as you are here, except your soul houses itself within the framework of the tent. And so a part of your mind, which is sensual, belongs to that sensual mind, that physical mind. So when the body dies, that physical mind dies with it. But the soul remains eternal. David said over in Acts chapter 2, he said that his flesh rested in hope and that his soul would not be left in Hades. And he wasn't referring to the region of the damned. He was referring to that place in the center of the earth called Abraham's bosom. At one time, it didn't have a name until Christ was resurrected from the dead and then took the keys of death, hell, and the grave and removed the authority of spiritual death over Lucifer. He had control of it. And he lost the control of it. And that's why we as believers are no longer subject to the authority of the adversary in this realm. If we have an inheritance in him, now we can operate through what he has given us in our inheritance. Isn't that powerful? Now, I hate to say this, but I was not perfect when I came into the kingdom of God. If that's the way you want to think, go right ahead. But I was just as human as everybody else. And guess what? Over time, I've grown out of some things that I used to be. Does anybody really know what I'm talking about? Remember when you first came into the kingdom of God? Did you notice that your outer man still wanted to walk in the same things that it was used to? And all of a sudden, you come to a revelation that you should no longer walk that way anymore? Darn it, I have to quit sinning. And so this rich man, he had a soul. And that spiritual mind occupied it. But he never gave his mind, his eternal mind, to God. He kept it for the sake of the body.
Right.
And that's what determines what direction the guy's going to go. When I die, this is where I'm going. One way or the other. And somebody said, well, what if they didn't make it? Well, thank God, God's a just judge. He's incapable of making a wrong decision. So if you've made it in the wrong direction, it's because you have earned it. If you made it in the right direction, it's because you received it. Amen? Now, why did I bring all this up? Well, the first verse is always mentioned about this sacrifice of the body. And people don't understand what it means to literally sacrifice your body, a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice was in the Old Testament? An animal and you were dead. Here, it's referring to the creature, the animal, that is still living, and you're living in it.
Right.
Amen? If you're not, it's because you're not here. Well, so I shouldn't say that. That's a bad example, because some people are at home, but the lights are all turned out, you know. But anyway, so in order for your mind to be renewed, the first thing that has to happen is that your outer man has to be sacrificed. Well, then, where would this sacrifice begin? It would begin in how you used to think. That is when it says living sacrifice means you're willing to give up the way you used to think out of your natural mind. Now, over the years, I've did an intense study on the renewing of the mind, and thank God I found my victory in many areas of my own life. Not only the habits of the flesh, but also the way that I should think, I began to gain control of it. Where before I would just let it float through me. And now I say, no, you're not going to go there anymore. We don't belong going there. That's why, and when the Bible talks about uncleanness, it wasn't referring to your fingernails not being clean or changing your clothes or anything like that. Uncleanness was referring to a mind that is not disciplined to its thinking processes. And so God begins to work on the inside of you and clean you up everywhere. But he works on the inside to the outside. He never works from the outside to the inside. It's always from the inside to the outside. Now, there are ministers today teaching that you are to be conformed by the renewing of your mind by fellowshipping with the right people. And if that's the case, then we can put a rotten apple in with the good apples, and the rotten apple will change. If you want to go home and put a rotten apple in a box of good apples, and I will prove my point. No, change has to begin inwardly. And before that to even begin, you have to do something with the outward man. You have to be willing. It says a living sacrifice. You have to be willing to sacrifice him. There's where the love of God really begins to grow in you. Did you know that? Because the love of God is sacrifice. It is not human love. Human love is self-centeredness. Divine love is self-sacrifice. And we have to understand that. And so really, when he says here, I beseech you, it's almost like saying, I beg you to get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. And the first thing he does is he gets a hold of something called, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovating of your mind. Now, let me tell you something about mind renewing. This will remove the mystery. When people speak of great spirituality within them, in other words, they are claiming that they're growing spiritually, they have victory over all things, they cling to their inheritance in Christ, and all of a sudden, we find the hidden things of darkness surfacing in them, and you're sitting there going, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what. Ministers, including myself, we have to learn how to maintenance ourselves. Take care of ourselves first. Why? So we can affect you. So if we're going to have victory, and you're going to have victory, it's because we both maintenance ourselves. It's not because I am so knowledgeable that I can give you something to make it work for you. It's because it works for me, therefore it will work for you. Because I'm just as much of a creature as you are. Now, I realized that when I came out of my mother's womb, that I had a certificate, a birth certificate that said, fairness and victory to life. I don't know what happened to that kind of wording on my my birth certificate, but it was there. But when I become a believer at first, I didn't know what it meant to submit myself to God. I had no idea. But I have learned this over the years. I do not submit myself to my Lord through my outer man. I can't do it. And God can't accept any of it as His works. He has to put something in your spirit to do something with your outer man. And that's why the hidden things of darkness come to light in people that you would expect that not to surface. It's because their mind is not properly being renovated. Because the last thing that will begin to happen in your life is the hidden things of darkness will be removed from you so that they don't surface to bring a reproach to everybody else. And confusion. So you have to look within your own heart and let the Holy Spirit begin to work on the inside of you. And then you'll start having good success because that's where the fruit. Do you know the fruit? You know what it means when it says fruit? You know, have you ever looked at a tree that had no fruit on it? And you looked at it and said, oh, what kind of a tree is that? And my son will tell you, Dad, that's an apple tree. Oh, that's an apple tree. Where's the apples? It's because the apple had not come out of it yet. Do you know what I mean? But if the apples had bore itself on the branches and I walked up to the tree, I could recognize, that's an apple tree. Well, how can you recognize that? The apple. It's an apple. Oh, yeah, it's an apple tree. I'm not that stupid. If I see an apple tree with apples on it, it's an apple tree. Why do I? Because the fruit was on the branch. I didn't walk up to a tree that had no fruit on it and say, oh, an apple tree. You want to know why? No fruit on it. It's when the fruit's born on it, I recognize what kind of tree it is. That's an apple tree. Well, that is a plum tree. That's a grapevine. Why? Because the fruit's on it. Now, most of your mind renewing, they stop at these verses here. And be not conformed. Do you know what the word conformed means? It is a word that means to be molded and shaped outwardly. It has nothing to do with inward transformation. It means do not be molded and shaped by anything that's in this world, because then you're giving yourself back to the tree that you're to sacrifice. Now, It says here, and be transformed. That's a deep inner change from natural to spiritual. Now you only have one soul, but within the soul you have two minds. You have the mind of the flesh that is taken care of at death or resurrection, and you have the mind of the Spirit. And the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh, before you get born again, they are united as one. They don't, your spiritual being has no identity whatsoever. The only identity it has is what it is through your natural way of thinking. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit enters your heart and does a cutting away, a circumcision, which separates your soul from that which is spiritual and that which is natural, so that the spiritual part of your soul now has its own separate identity. Now you're on a journey for transformation. Your natural mind retains what it had experienced in this realm, but your spiritual mind, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit's saying to your spiritual mind, this is no longer the way that you are to live, what you had learned from your natural mind. This is how you get into the Bible, and you begin to see what the Bible has to say about how you are to think. And as a result of that, then your outer man is now has to submit itself to your inner man if you have some humility about you in the natural. Every one of us don't really realize what that young lady was saying when she said, the perfect law of liberty. That means you can look into your word, called Bible there, and rightly divide it to where your spiritual mind no longer is going to think the way that it used to only know the way that it thought, but it has its own identity now. And so as a result of having its own identity now, he knows now that the Holy Spirit will help him to begin to think properly. Amen. Spiritual renewing is what we're really for. Not our natural mind. It is unchangeable. It does not want to renew itself. Romans 8:7 says it's not even willing to submit to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says it's the mind of the intellect. The central mind is unsubmissive to the things of God. It is your spiritual mind that searches out the deeper things of God by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And people, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit didn't come into our hearts so that they can control us. He came into our hearts so we can develop our mind to begin to take authority over what we used to think. Amen. We have believers today still feeding that outward man, that outward mind. And the more you feed it, the more it gets into you. Pornography. I was a victim of it myself. Every one of us in this room had to face something along that line. You got to cut it off. You got to put your eyes where it belongs. Right. Yeah. It's in all of us. We could pick something else, alcohol, addictions, whatever it is. That natural mind wants to inhale that stuff. But man, when you start developing a love for God, you start setting your boundaries. No, we're not, this is not going to go anywhere with my life. So I got to cut you off. Eventually, we got to go cold turkey. Like that commercial on TV, that turkey, cold turkey with cigarettes. No, that was another one. Anyway. So mind renewing, spiritual mind renewing, this is the key, this is the point. When your mind is being renewed, your natural mind is being demoted. The more you gain insight through your spiritual mind, the more authority you have in your spiritual mind to demote your natural way of thinking. Period over and out. And that's why somebody like me in a position as your pastor, I have to maintenance myself so that the hidden things of darkness that's in me is eradicated so they never surface to bring a reproach back to you. And so what do you do if you sit under somebody and all of a sudden all these hidden things of darkness come to light? Then you know they're not maintaining themselves.
Right.
I've had several pastors come to me. And one in particular. And so I started sharing with him and he said, well, I don't know whether I agree with that two mind thing. And I says, well, this will help you with what you know. Well, you know, I don't understand where you're coming from. And I sat there and I tried to, he committed suicide. He didn't know how to get rid of the one mind versus the other one. Well, people, I'm going to tell you something, spiritual growth is very important for our life.
Right.
You know, thank God we're not saved by our intellect.
Yeah.
Thank God we're not saved by our spiritual lack. We're saved because God declares we're saved.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if we lose our life and we're not grown up spiritually? Thank God you still go to heaven because all God requires you to receive Jesus.
Yeah.
Period over and out.
Yeah.
That means you can receive Jesus one second and lose your life the very next second and still go to heaven. Why? Because sozo doesn't belong to you and me. Being saved belongs to God. Salvation belongs to us, but sozo belongs to Him. Thank God. If it was up to our natural way of thinking, none of us would get in. And so when you're talking about this mind renewing thing here, I want you to notice something. It says that the renewing of your mind does something. It does something so that you can be able to prove something. It also says that you could figure out what's good. And you can also figure out what's acceptable. And you can also figure out what the perfect will of God is. Isn't that a good promise? Now, I was reading that one day. And I got to verse 3 and I said, well, before I say through the way, well, I'm not going to go there. I got to stick to these first verses here, 1 and 2, about renewing of the mind. And finally, one day, God stopped me in the middle of it. He says, why are you stopping on the renewing of the mind with verse 2 when you need to go on through and read what Paul is talking about after he talks about getting your mind renewed? And I looked at my Bible, and I looked at verse 3, and I said, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And I said, what's that got to do with mind renewing? How many of you have been bowling? You know, when you go bowling, do you know you get a ball? Do you know what they do? They give you a runway for the ball. And they give you pins at the end of the runway. And you take the ball and you shoot it down the runway, supposedly. I have the gutters to help me. And it... you shoot for them pins. Isn't that nice? Runway, pins, bowling. How about shooting? I hope I don't have a religious spirit here, but I like shooting guns. Not people. Paper. And did you know that when you get a gun, the first thing you need to do is sight it in? How many of you know what sighting in means? It means your rear sight and your front sight have to line up so that when you pull the trigger and the bullet comes out of the barrel, it goes where it's supposed to. It hits the target where it should. Now, I've had some guns, no matter how many bullets I put down range, I can't even find the target. But if I work with the sights long enough and get them lined up, eventually I can hit that target. Now, if you went out to the range with a gun and ammo, and you say you're going to sight it in, you'd have to have a target down the range in order to sight that thing. If there's no target down there, what are you going to aim at to find out whether it works or not? The guy next to you? No, you have to have a target down range to shoot it at. And God was telling me that if you would read on, he says, I'll tell you when to stop when Paul, the apostle, quits talking about mind renewal. And so I was reading on, I kept reading on, I was getting tired. And I got to chapter 15 and I got down to verse 7 and God said, stop. That's when Paul quit talking about mind renewing. What? What are you talking? And I went back. And that's when God began to show me about shooting and the target being downrange and everything. He said what Paul did after verse 2, starting at verse 3, he hung a target downrange for all of us to shoot at. And he says, what you're doing with that information that follows chapter 2, all this information is given to us for us to adjust the way we think from the way we used to think. I said, Lord, why haven't we seen this before? He said, because most of you stop at verse 2. You know what God's word does? It's line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But it comes together with a complete thought so that you can see it clearly. And I began to read these things all the way from 12, 13, 14, right up to 15. And when I began to read all these things, I got thinking, oh my gosh, I have missed it. Look at chapter 13 here of Romans. I'm going to show you just an example. Let's go to verse 8. This one we can all relate to. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, what is that verse saying? It's saying this. When you get your mind renewed by the word of God, you'll stay financially free from everyone else, so that you can love them unconditionally. One thing about really what really destroys our communion with each other is when we start thinking differently when it comes to money. And if we have differences of opinions on this money thing, it can destroy our fellowship. Such in case in point, when you strike a deal with somebody and you don't follow through with that, you made yourself an enemy and he's called the brother that came out of the same womb. Cain, who slew Abel. So I began to check these things out and God said, let me break it down for you. I said, oh, break it down? What do you mean? He says, I want to show you something about the targets that he set down range. He says, first of all, the first thing you've got to understand is verse 3, you begin on an equality with everyone, and you're not to think your call is more important than others. Don't have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance. Keep sober-minded. Then he goes from verse 4 through 8, and he talks about the church, universal and local, and talks about locating yourself in a local body for the giftings and service as a member of the body of Christ. Your thinking begins there. Then he says from verse 9 through 21, he talks about our fellowship with each other as a family, not just as a society. Then he jumps from chapter 13, 1 through 5, and a believer's witness and fellowship to the authority before the world and the church authority, world authority and church authority. So when you start getting the mind of God, you know how to relate to these things. It's getting harder now when it comes to Congress. Ooh, they're scary people now. Then verses 6 and 7, the financial support of both authorities in the earth, the world system, government, and church government. Verse 8, state free of financial bondage and expression of love, believer and unbeliever. Verses 9 and 10, how to love your neighbor in the world or in the church. Verses 11 through 14, defining the loss of time by walking in darkness. Put off your old walk in darkness by putting on the armor of light, your new walk. And then in chapter 14, 1 through 15, 7, it's how to walk with each other in spiritual indifferences. Every believer will give an account how he treated each other. And chapter 14, 20 through 15, 7, and how you can destroy the progress of God in each believer's heart. So he gave us some targets, and he says, this is how you begin to demote your natural way of thinking to that place of freedom and liberty. When you walk in forgiveness with people, you know how you do that? You're free of them. You're free of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But how important it is for us to change the way we think. How important it is for us to change the way we think. We have to do some things. We have to do some things with the outer man. Do you know that a lot of times God can't develop His image on the inside of us because our outward being has too much to say? Ladies are more prone to it than men. Ladies are very conscious how they look. And rightly so. You got to watch how I say this. Not rightly so, meaning you're ugly until you get adjusted. You know what I mean? That's not where I'm coming from. But women have a tendency to be more concerned about their outward appearance than men. But the point I'm trying to make is, if we're not careful, our outward man can dictate to us the way we should think. And that has to stop. We as human beings, one thing we need to learn to do is how to make adjustments within ourselves through our inward being to our outward being, make those adjustments to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling or respect before God, so that we don't constantly have these negative thoughts about ourselves because we don't seem to have the victory that we think we should have physically. People, I'm going to tell you something. Since I started this church, I've changed physically. But thank God I changed mentally too. Because if I looked the way I look now when I started this church, I wouldn't have started the church until I changed, case in point, my hair. It all disappeared on top. Some of you were around when I had hair. It's been a long time since I... Now I have to do it like this. You ain't got no hair up there. My spiritual hair, thank you. I got to start pretending. But we should not let our outward man dictate to us anything until you do an inward checkup. Listen, you have to locate the mind of God towards you. God says, I want you to know this about my thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of good and not evil. God has good thoughts towards us. The thinking, it comes from the birds of the air. Sometimes other people can say things that just grate you. Have you ever had anybody do that to you before? Am I the only one around here? Am I in a holier-than-thou church? Some people, I don't want to go around and why, because they open their mouths. Well, what's wrong with that? You don't know what comes out. We need to learn to reach inward and let God begin to speak and make changes in our heart and life. We'll never be happy until we do. We'll be like nomads in this world. We'll just jump from place to place, person to person. We'll just never be settled within ourselves until finally we settle ourselves in Him. And once we get settled in Him, then we can make personal adjustments in our life. David learned to do that. David had a pornography problem. He liked looking at naked women. And what did he do about it? He made a covenant with God to watch where he put his eyes. That's what you have to begin to do within yourself. You have to work something on the inside of you that's honest. And sometimes people, some things have such a hold on us, it's hard to overcome. But you can do it just by simply asking God to help you. You have to let God build a passion in you to overcome something before you can do it. And God can do it. He can build a desire within you to overcome that thing. You know God's way of promoting you is through His love, not His severity. He said, it's the love of God that causes men to change. God knows how to get up close to you, so close to you, you could feel His breath and talk words to you that only He can talk. Why? They fit your way of thinking so well that He can remove what He don't like there by getting your permission to do that.
Right.
In closing, I want to say one thing. There's a parable that Jesus talked about over in Luke 11. And I never saw this before until one day I was meditating on this parable. It says, a friend went to a friend at midnight and banging on his door. He's talking about prayer there. But something caught my attention about that parable I'd never seen before. And he's banging on a door. He says, get up and give me some bread because a friend of mine is on a journey. Go away, don't bother me. I'm already in bed with my children and we're settled in. And why are you bothering me at this inconvenient time? The margin of my Bible said this parable of the unjust judge. It is not. Parable of the unjust judge is a different parable. Because he said a friend went to a friend. And finally, because this guy was nagging him, he finally got up and gave him what he needed. And God told me, He says, there's another angle to that parable. Because afterwards, Jesus said something that's really unique. He says, how much more would He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Yeah.
And did you know that the biggest argument believers will have, no matter what denomination you're in, is about the subject of the Holy Spirit, especially when you mention speaking in tongues? I'm going to tell you what God showed me about that parable. He said the friend that went to a friend at midnight was his inner man crying out to the outer man to permit the kingdom to give him the bread that was necessary to meet someone else's journey. Your outer man, whether you like it or not, still holds the main authority in this realm.
Yep.
And if you learn how to demote him, then your inner man can receive the bread that is necessary to serve this dying world.
Amen.
We've got to learn how to demote this outer man. And I'm going to tell you what the outer man does not like. He does not like inconvenience. If you're going to come to me, you better make sure it's at the proper time and it's very convenient for me. And your outer man doesn't work that way. Your inner man will cry out for more of God, but your outer man will say, cool off, buddy. I'm not ready for that commitment. Oh, really? It's about time we change the way we think. I'm going to tell you something. When God starts moving in any believer's heart, I don't care where you're at, what church you're in, no matter what it is, God will move in every believer's heart. Want more of me. Why? Because God wants to bless more of you. When God puts pressure on you, it's because He wants more of you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Father, we thank You for the ability to pray for these babies. Father, we thank You that the people will have a safe trip from here, wherever they're going, as we dismiss them. But before we do, Father, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, we would love to lead them to the Lord. And if they've known Christ at one time but gotten cold, Father, we would love to lay hands on and let You set a fire under them. Hallelujah. If they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, Father, we would love to pray with them. Father, take us to places we've never been concerning Your power and Your anointing, so that we'll begin to increase with every service in Jesus' name. The things I called out, if you want to come up to afterwards, feel free to do that. I'll wait right here for you. And with that said, God bless you all. You're dismissed.